you're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We are also heard on the web live. You can get our WWBC app on demand. And we're also heard in cars, on the radio. And of course, we're going to have a podcast of our show as well. And Ellen Little will put that on our Sita Media Inc. page. Where, I swear, if you put in the name Sita and Friends, it comes right up.
It does. It does. And also on iTunes as well. It's still publishing there. We got the last four. All the April shows are up.
It's doing really well.
And already. We got 1,000 downloads on each one of the shows.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I know.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you do good things for the community and good things, generally, when you wake up, always looking out to do great things for the community and for wherever we live, whether it's in the United States or anywhere else in the world. Good things happen.
Yep.
I believe in the power of positivity, right? Yep. And so we have a really action-packed show today. We have Keith G, and such an easy name.
I know.
Keith G is here with us, and he is the executive director of the Children's Hunger Project. And I just want to say welcome to our show.
Thank you for being here.
This is going to be a wonderful show. And we also have with us Lisa Fitzcoy. And she's with the Brevard Cultural Alliance. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And your title is, you're the executive director as well?
No, I'm the communications manager.
Communications. Well, nothing could happen without communications. Believe you me.
We're here.
Yes. And so for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, as usual, Ellen and I will chat a little bit about what's going on around the world and around the nation and right here in Brevard County, Florida. And I'm not sure if you know what happened this weekend, but at the Brevard Zoo, we had a lot of happenings.
I saw.
And yeah, I saw
again,
you,
your pictures.
We had one of the, is it a race
Tony
car?
Tony Stewart
from Indiana.
Exactly.
And I almost.
Winston Cup champion, actually.
And 12 championships under his belt.
Yep.
And I forgot to tell him that I lived in Marion, Indiana briefly, well, for 3 years.
Right.
And I absolutely love it. You know, he reminded me so much of the people that we met in Indiana, and such wholesome people, and inviting everybody to, whether it was a hayride or whether they were celebrating Halloween party, very family oriented.
Yes.
I liked it a lot. And we were the only dark skinned people in my suburbs, I want you to know. And they didn't really see that. They just saw us as nice people. Mm-hmm. I remember when I moved to Marion, Indiana, I was looking for a dentist, and I went to see our friend, Dr. Kelly. Well, he wasn't our friend then. Just went to see this guy, Dr. Kelly. And he says, you know what? My wife, Marsha, is going to love you. And I said, oh, great. We just moved here. And sure enough, that evening, this beautiful blonde came riding a bike. And she knocked on the door and she said, my name is Marsha Kelly. And I said, oh, I think I saw your husband today. He took care of my cleaning or whatever, right? And Marsha and I, bless her, we've been friends for almost 24 years. And she's actually coming to Jasmine's wedding on Saturday.
See.
You know, God just sends angels my way. And she's an absolutely beautiful girl. And so she taught me how to eat corn on a cob and homemade mashed potatoes.
All dentist stuff.
And she taught me how to eat barbecue chicken and all that. And I taught her how to eat curry chicken. Mm-hmm. And we spent almost, I want to say, 2 days per week for the entire time I lived in Indiana together. We
That's
were
awesome.
Best buddies, but did a lot of stuff. And so she had entered the Mrs. Indiana pageant, and I was her cheerleader.
Yay.
And so it's amazing how you remain friends, and you could pick off where you left off.
That's right.
But not all friends will take a week off and come down for a wedding. And so her daughter's now an MD, and Jasmine is an attorney, and they were also best friends when they were little. So
That's
I have
awesome.
Fun memories of Indiana.
You know? And so the event was good?
Excellent. And you said you had a jacket for that you wanted to return.
Yeah, I have quite a few signed Winston Cup jackets from Tony Stewart.
Oh, and, wonderful.
And
well, you know, the Brevard Zoo, the Brevard Zoo is doing so well, and under the leadership of our friend Keith Winston, it's just grown. We're like one of the top 30 zoos in the country, which is for Brevard is really, really good. And they do so much for the children and the community, so it was really nice to
attend
that.
And I was with your daughter this weekend at the Children's Home Society.
Yeah, we were just saying, we have a lot of charities in Brevard and a lot of events.
Right.
And I attended I worked on Saturday, and then after work I went to the Brevard Caribbean Association had a fashion show and a tea party to benefit we were raising funds for a cultural center in Palm Bay. Yep. And my sister and I were the two token Indian girls to wear saris. And we look good. We look
you
very
always
nice.
Look good.
A little lipstick and eyeliner goes a long way.
Yeah.
And so we did that. But the tea party was really nice. And they had a lot of people that appreciated the culture. And I thought about Lisa because we were talking about the cultural aspect of the Caribbean people that bring, you know, their culture from Haiti and Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago, of course, where I was born and raised. We have the American culture, we have the Western culture, we have Indian, we have African, and they had the drums from the African drums, and we had a little lull where they were waiting for the girls to get ready, and I went on stage and I did an African dance.
Nice.
And my sister and I, we did it. Nice. We know how to do it because we grew up in a multicultural society with such diversity, so it was really nice. I had fun.
And so the message in all of that is to get involved, because there's plenty of things to be getting involved with.
Right.
Almost every weekend here in Brevard County, and things that'll impact us not only financially, but certainly help people in need and help people that, just
need the
help.
Culture.
Spread
the
wealth and spread the culture.
Well, and the thing is, you know what? Every day we wake up, we should be trying to do something for society, do something for ourselves, for humanity, but also learn. When your knowledge is power, right? And before we go to Lisa and the Brevard Cultural Alliance, which I really love because, you know, their questionnaire when I ran for office was perfect. Yeah. And I learned more about them then. You know, I was like, wow, I didn't realize it did so much stuff.
Yeah.
But I noticed in the Florida legislature, they were trying to get a ban for texting and driving. And thank you very much.
Yes.
Because I had a physician friend of mine, we were talking about this over dinner, and I think it's about 200 people have died in Florida due to mm-hmm. texting and driving. And my friend, who is a physician, she says to me, unless they make this a law, I won't stop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that people want to do it, but we do it at the traffic lights. Yeah. I do it when I have a really long red light.
Right.
But, you know, even that is dangerous mm-hmm. because your thoughts, you know.
And you're distracted.
Right.
Distracted
were all
driving
saying,
is big
I mean,
deal.
All our friends were saying, it's not that people want to break the law, but I think it's a good law, and I hope it passes because I see teenagers doing it. I see people on bicycles doing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw a guy on a motorbike texting. I'm like, you can't be doing that, you know. So I want to just give him a shout out for that. Of course, it's always hands-free. You can always talk on the phone.
Sure.
Just put it on your lap or something, mm-hmm. right? So I just want to say that's one good thing that's happened in the state of Florida. And sometimes we only talk about what we don't like, but we should also give people a shout out when they do something that we like and appreciate.
Exactly right.
You know?
Exactly.
So anyway, a shout out for all the people that I could have met if I had won my race.
That's right.
They missed out on a really good curry chicken,
okay.
And I would have voted for that one.
That's
yeah.
right. Yep.
So anyway, that was good. But anyways, for all those who are tuning in, we're going to chat a little bit right now with Lisa. And Lisa is with the Brevard. She's a communications director with the Brevard Cultural Alliance. And so, Lisa, tell us a little bit, how did you get involved with the Brevard Cultural Alliance?
Yeah, so that's a really great story, actually. So I am a lifelong resident of Brevard County. I was born here. I grew up here. I went to Brevard Public Schools. And I knew when I graduated from college that I wanted to do communications in the arts industry. And so I got my first internship with Brevard Cultural Alliance, over a decade ago. And I just had a wonderful experience there. And so when I actually moved away for a little while to the Virginia area and, you know, spent my career working for nonprofits and higher education and communications. And I knew over the past few years that I wanted to come back home to Florida to be closer to family. And so when this position came up, it just seemed like the perfect opportunity. It was like, you know, fate was telling me that this was the right time to come home and to get back involved with the organization that kind of kicked off my career. And so I was, you know, very excited to come back and start bringing my skills back to the county that I grew up in.
Right. And she said she just graduated from college, but she looks like she's in college.
Yeah.
You know, I had
my, I guess that a lot.
You know, my sister and I were boasting about, oh, how we look so great at 50-something. And, no, you look great.
Thank you.
Terrific. But, you know, when I think about culture, I always think about, like, diversity.
Right.
And what every person has to add. You know, we all, you know, most of us focus, well, in my family, you know, you grow up thinking about going to school and getting a job or opening a business. They're just busybodies. Everybody wants to be doing something. But I know at the end of the week, everyone wanted something to relax, whether it was dancing or poetry, or whether it was going to the beach and hanging out with people, having a festival. When I think of culture, I think of people coming together collectively and just sharing the ideas and creativity with each other.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I think you guys do with the Brevard Cultural Alliance here in Brevard as well.
Yeah, I think that's part of our overall mission, is to foster, you know, a love and appreciation for the arts and creativity, and you know, to foster that in people. You know, when I talk to some people, it breaks my heart when they tell me that, what culture in Brevard, what is that? So, you know, I have to tell people that there is so much diversity in Brevard, in terms of the many different places that people come from, but also in terms of the arts, that they're from Palm Bay to Titusville, you can find something to do, like you said, on the weekend.
And so, you could improve your quality of life as well with the abundance of things that we have. I mean, mm-hmm. if you really want to fight depression, and I'm not saying that you could cure it, but, you know, people sit at home and, oh, I'm so depressed. Well, guess what? If you just go on the Brevard Cultural Alliance website and you click events, mm-hmm. there's so much stuff going on. There's no, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with just getting in your car and driving. You'll make friends there, because like-minded people will attend these things. So tell us a little bit about the upcoming events that you have.
Oh, sure. And I want to say, too, to that point, that I think part of what makes the art so powerful is that it helps people from disparate backgrounds come together, and it builds empathy. So it's important for people of all ages to, you know, to kind of get out of their comfort zone, and maybe, you know, if you've never gone to the theater, to try going to a show that you think looks interesting. But, you know, to get out there and to try new things.
Well, it does strengthen. It strengthens you by embracing you and, mm-hmm. and your ideas.
Yeah. New adventures.
That's right.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
Right. And you know, like, tell us about the events first.
Sure, yeah. So there's a wealth of events on our website, artsbrevard.org. And so I encourage listeners to go on our website and to check out everything that we have coming up. So we kind of compile all of the different arts and cultural events that are going on in the community. And if anyone who's listening, if you have an arts and cultural event that you want help promoting, it's free to post your event on our calendar. So I encourage you to explore that as well. I encourage people to go online and to check it out. There's lots of different things going on. I just checked the calendar this morning to see some of the things that we have coming up. And one thing I think is really cool, and I have to get out and check it out before it goes away, is at the Ruth Funk Center, the Textile Center, they have the Design to Mobilize Propaganda Kimono exhibit that's going on. And that's only there for another week or so. So I encourage people to check that out. And then there's the Producers is showing at Cocoa Village Playhouse, and there's lots of different shows and coming up at the King Center and all of our local community
and the Henniger Center has a lot of stuff. I just went there for their 100th celebration. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, my good friend Ellen Little, my co-host and my friend that helps me, gosh, with so much stuff behind the scenes, is here on the show with us. Hello, Ellen, again.
Hi.
And we also have Keith G. with us. He's going to be talking later about the Children's Hunger Project. And the lady that we're chatting with, who looks so young, is Lisa Fitzcoy, and she is a communications director with the Brevard Cultural Alliance. Now, when you think about culture, you also think about, you know, you have to have a little money to spend, but it also brings in a little money for the community, for the county. So tell us a little bit about the contribution that the Space Coast Culture and Arts, that scene, what it brings into Brevard, money-wise.
Right, so that's something that not a lot of people know about or think about, is that that the arts have a tremendous impact on the local economy. And in fact, every couple of years, Brevard Culture Alliance, we commission a study to take a look at the economic contribution that the arts and cultural sector has. And our last one, which was in 2017, showed that that the arts contributed over $128 million in total sales, $71.3 million added to the GDP, and 1,464 full and part-time jobs.
Well, and we know for a fact, we had the Renaissance Fair on our show, where we help them every year to advertise, and they had a huge turnout on the kind of acts that they're getting to come into Brevard. India Fest, the Greek Festival, the, like you said, the stuff going on at FIT. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And, you know, if people come from out of town, they spend time in hotels.
That's right.
They eat at the restaurants. Mm-hmm. And this is why, this is, I think, what makes Brevard County so a beautiful place to live.
Right.
Is that we do come together. At the end of the day, there's always something going on.
Right. And I think that having things to do, having a vibrant arts and cultural sector is important when we think about attracting new talent to the county. I'm a millennial, and I can speak, I'll speak on behalf of all millennials, that having a vibrant arts and cultural sector, having a wide variety of things to do is part of what attracts millennials to want to work in a particular area. They're not necessarily looking for jobs first. They're looking for communities that they want to live.
They want to fit in. They want to belong. And what I like about the Brevard cultural the arts as well is how you guys include children. You have so much stuff that you do with the public schools.
Right.
You guys provides artist residencies for public schools. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we partner with Brevard Public Schools to offer our artist residency program. So this year we're working with 14 schools across the county. And what we do is we bring in a professional teaching artist into the classroom. And each of those schools has kind of a choice as to what project or medium they want to explore with their students. And I'll give you an example. One of our sites this year, and we were working with them for the first time, was Titusville High School. And their theater teacher went out on leave for a time. And so we brought in a wonderful teaching artist to come in and help the drama club perform. I think they did Clue, the high school edition. And just, I had an opportunity to chat with some of the students who got to participate in that program, some of whom had never done theater before. You know, we're kind of the shy, behind the scenes kind of, you know, students, but theater really helped them bring them out of their shell. And, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, the importance of kind of getting out of your comfort zone. And so them being able to participate in this program really helped open up new doors for them. So
it's I even saw in the Henniger Center in Cocoa Village Playhouse, because Sita, you know that I was in a couple of shows there, and I see how the adults come in at, you know, at some level, and then through the show and through the camaraderie and through the encouragement and support, how they change their lives because of that. So it's such a great transformation to see.
Yeah.
You know, I know with the young people it happens probably pretty quicker, quicker I should say, but with adults it happens just as quick and just
well everybody's looking to for a place to belong.
Right.
It's exactly,
you know,
right.
And the good thing about the Brevard Cultural Alliance is that they their mission, their primary goal actually is to promote arts and culture and make it an integral part of education and in our community for personal growth and development as well, which is so beautiful. But you all also partner up with a lot of places, and you have summer programs, you do things with other agencies here in Brevard. Tell us a little bit about some of the places you partner up with.
Well, so in Brevard Culture Alliance, we're also a membership organization. One way we could describe it is that we're kind of like a chamber of commerce for the arts. And so we work with over 500 artists and organizations across the county to help promote promote what they have going on. So you were talking about Brevard Zoo earlier. They're one of our members, Brevard Symphony Orchestra, Space Coast Symphony Orchestra, Cocoa Village Playhouse, all of the community theaters, Dance Arts Center. I could name them all, but and they're of course all on our website. And so, you know, I encourage your listeners to go and see just the tremendous number of arts organizations and groups and talented local artists that we have in the community that are working and making Brevard such a vibrant place.
Right. And you know, like if somebody moves into Brevard and they're bored and lonely and they have nowhere to go, all they have to do is go on the website and Google it, and there you could become part of the group because you're also looking for volunteers. So sure. Give us the website. Like, yeah, let's say somebody's driving in their car and they're headed to Brevard right now.
Yes.
And they can play a guitar or they can play a drum or they like poetry or they like being on stage or even they just want to get involved in the community and right. volunteer with Parks and Recreation. They can do all of this through the Brevard Cultural Alliance.
That's right. So you can go to artsbrevard.org. That's our website. And you can also subscribe to receive email updates from us as well. Every week or two, we send out our best bets that will kind of give you the highlights of you know, some of the most exciting events that are coming up that weekend or the following weekend. So it's a good way to kind of plan your time.
Right.
So I encourage you to go to artsbrevard.org and check that out.
Right. And you know, like people who get involved in plays and shows or talent like singing, usually it helps with self-confidence and self-esteem as well. And it helps people if you're applying for a job, you meet people who mentor you and guide you and
Definitely.
Help you along. So it's not just that you're getting involved for the talent part of it and creativity,
right.
but you're building a community of people that are going to be there for you when you need them for other things as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I know the arts had a tremendous impact on me personally. I in addition to studying communications, I studied creative writing. That was kind of my art of choice. And I was always kind of a shy, you know, person who didn't really like public speaking so much in school. But through pursuing poetry, I would have to get up and do open mic nights and present my work. And that really helped me kind of have to come out of my shell to perform my work in front of an audience. And it definitely helped me in my current line of work.
Yeah. And so you have a big event coming up on the 23rd.
Yes.
And if somebody wanted to get involved in that, how do you get tickets and where is it going to be held? And I know your face light up like a Christmas tree when you said yes. So it must be something great.
We're very excited. So, yes, on May 23rd, we're having our cultural summit. And it's an all-day conference. And we have a very special guest this year for our luncheon. For those of you who are fans of Duran Duran, our special guest is Simon Le Bon. He is the lead singer of Duran Duran. He's going to come out, and Greg Pallone of Spectrum News 13 is going to come out and do an interview with him. So it's very, very exciting.
May 23rd, you said, so that's a Thursday?
Yes, it is. It's a Thursday. It's going to be held at the Hilton in Melbourne at Rialto Place. And it is all day. If you can come out to the all-day conference or just the luncheon. And so if you're a working artist or musician or a creative professional, we're going to have lots of workshops throughout the day on marketing and grants and social media. So we encourage you to come check that out. And information about getting tickets is at our website, which again is artsbrevard.org.
Well, thank you.
And by the way, joining as an individual or a business member is really easy because I just did.
And is it expensive?
Well, thank you. That's great.
It's not expensive at all.
It's not expensive, mm-hmm. No. They have everything from $50 as an artist all the way up to $500 as a business sponsor.
Yeah. I'll be joining as well.
Well,
and one of the other things that I want our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to know as well, you guys do so much with the tourism community as well. Mm-hmm. You partner up with the tourism. So how does that work? Tourists comes in and you guys have all the information there. And we've got so many things going on in Brevard County, Florida. How does that help with the Brevard Caribbean Alliance?
Oh, yeah. So what we do, of course, partner with the Tourism Development Council to promote. A big part of our mission is promoting arts and culture. In terms of putting Brevard on the map as a cultural destination.
We are on the map. If
yeah.
anything, we are. Just
mm-hmm.
just our wonderful zoo being one of the top 30 in mm-hmm. the nation. That's amazing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have Ron John's Space Shop, you know, Surf Shop. We have beautiful beaches. But it's just a great place to live.
Right.
And that's what people want when they come here to live. They want to be able, you know, how many times you hear family members say there's nothing to do? There is something to do.
Yes.
You just have to know where.
Right, if you know where to look. is artsbrevard.org.
So, yeah, so how else can Ellen and I help you all to advertise some of the great things you're doing? I mean, we'll put it on our website, and I'll see if I could take that day off, because I usually work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I'm off Mondays and Fridays.
Okay.
But I'd like to attend the luncheon. How much are the tickets?
So for the luncheon itself, it's just $40 to attend the all-day conference. If you are a BCA member, it's $60. If you're not a member, it's $75.
Yeah, I'll try to come in, because you guys have such a great impact on the community, and not just with adults, but what you're doing for children. I just love the idea that the kids have somewhere to go, safe places to go. Mm-hmm. And you partner up with so much. And I know you do a lot with our sheriff. We was just saying that Sheriff Ivy was at an event that Ellen was at. He also is an advocate for keeping the children busy,
mm-hmm.
and keeping adults too, you know.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of people that work Monday through Friday, but they've got hidden talents,
mm-hmm.
and they would like to showcase that. Because I know at open mics, it's amazing. Sometimes you'll see some of the executives in town singing and playing music and in a band. I'm like, what is going on here?
That's right.
So if someone wanted to join as an artist, they can do what Ellen just did. Just go on the website.
Yes, yeah. And there are many benefits to joining. Of course, you're joining our organization, helps support our mission. But in return, we can help, you know, promote you through our marketing channels, through social media, and you'll have an opportunity to be featured on our website and so on. So you can go online and check it out.
Yeah, the economic impact of the Brevard Cultural Alliance is huge.
So yeah, she
check out the website for sure. But I think we're going to take a quick station break to hear from our sponsors. And Lisa, you're going to stick around with us?
Yes,
so we can,
I am.
Yeah,
we
she
can
should,
talk a little bit more.
Because I think, you know, what she's doing there and what Keith is doing, yeah. it's sort of like it overlaps too. They can help each other. It's
absolutely
great.
Absolutely. We'll be right back with Keith G. with the Children's Hunger Project right after these messages.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well, and delivery and haulaway available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And, oh, gosh, the second half always gets easier because we've been chatting so much. Right. So you've loosened up. And Ellen Little is here. And our friend Keith G is here. Keith, I just like saying your name. It's such a nice name and it's easy because sometimes we have trouble saying people's names. And you're with the Children's Hunger Project. You're the executive director. And we just want to thank Lisa Fitzcoy with the Brevard Cultural Alliance for sharing all that valuable information with our listeners as well. So, Keith, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
And we're going to ask you the same thing we asked you. Tell us how you got involved with the Children's Hunger Project.
Sure. I've spent my entire career, 30 years, working for nonprofit agencies and fundraising and management. And the founding director of the Children's Hunger Project was retiring, and the board was looking for a new executive director. So
you stepped up to the plate.
It seemed like a great fit. I love the agency. I love our mission. I love all the volunteers and people involved in helping us get our mission out there.
Yeah, you know, while preparing for the show, I was amazed at how many children in Brevard County, Florida, go to bed hungry on a Friday night.
Yeah, it's amazing. We have 72 miles of beautiful coastline that people come from all over the world to see. We launch rockets from our backyard, and yet we can't feed our kids. There's something wrong with that. So I always considered Brevard County a pretty affluent middle-class community, but it's amazing to hear the stories from teachers and parents of kids that are not getting proper nutrition.
Yeah, I was reading that 50% of the children who utilize the free and reduced lunches through their schools, these are the kids that you guys try to take care of so that when they go home on the weekends, they have something to eat.
Yeah, so all the kids we serve are elementary school kids. They're eligible for the National Free or Reduced Lunch Program. That means here in Brevard County that they get breakfast and lunch Monday through Friday when they attend school. The problem is that lunch on Friday is oftentimes their last nutritious meal they get until Monday morning when they come back to school. So 68 hours without proper nutrition, and I mean, it's pretty easy to guess what's going to happen to these kids. They're not going to be successful. They're going to have a hard time paying attention to the lesson. They're going to fall asleep in school. They're going to be sick more often. It's going to take them longer to recover than their peers simply because their bodies don't have the nutrition. So we put together a packet of food.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. That's a very delicious looking packet. Because usually when people give out food, they don't give all these good stuff. I like this. Craisins. Sunflower kernels, turkey stick. So the kids get one of these to take home.
Each week. So we deliver these packets to the schools. And then it's actually the teachers that can take these packets and just slip them in the kid's backpack on Friday so the kid takes it home over the weekend, and they have food to eat over the weekend, so they come back to school Monday ready to learn and ready to be successful.
So, Keith, where do you get your referrals for other than the teachers? Do you have other sources in the community that would give you referrals?
For referrals for the
kids, for the children to take stuff.
So we work very closely with the school district. The schools, each school that we serve, we have a liaison there that's in charge of the program, and they're the ones that decide which kids get the packages. And I'll tell you, every teacher that I know personally has that drawer in their desk where they keep extra granola bars and extra socks and extra toothpaste, because they know kids are coming to school hungry, without the proper toiletries, without the proper clothing. So the teachers are the ones that know which kids are coming to school hungry. So they're the ones that actually decide who gets these packets.
And, you know, statistics have shown that children facing hunger are twice as likely to repeat a grade in elementary school. And let that sink in for a minute. You know, we all talk about public schools, public education, what we're doing with the funds. But unless we fix our communities and address these issues, we can't really fight the hunger that's right here in our community. And I see you're shaking your head, Lisa. You said your husband was a school teacher and he had seen this as well.
Yeah, he is. He teaches in another county, but I can relate with what you're saying, Keith, about, you know, teachers, you know, keeping the drawer full of supplies for students in need. So, yeah.
And also, you know, research has shown that hunger is associated with stomach aches and headaches and depression and anxiety, a decreased ability to focus, all of which impact the students. So what is the call to action? What can we do to help you, Keith G., in what you're doing with feeding our children?
So there's three things. One, I honestly believe that this is an awareness issue. If Brevard County knew what was happening to these kids and the impact that this is going to have on all of our lives if we don't take care of this, we would just fix this problem. For me, it costs us $4 for a packet of food. It's $150 to feed a kid for the entire school year. That's every Friday. $150.
For the year?
For the year, for the entire school year. So that breaks down to $12.50 a month on a recurring. I mean, that's what we spend on at lunch or at a couple of trips to Starbucks. And we could literally feed a kid for the entire year with that money. So talk to your friends. Go on our website, thechildrenshungerproject.org. Learn about this. Go to these elementary schools where these kids are coming to school hungry and see what it looks like. The other two things, all of our food is packed by volunteers. It's all delivered to the schools by volunteers. So if you want to get involved, go on our website. There's a volunteer tab there. Come and help us pack food, come and help us deliver food, get involved as a volunteer. And then the last thing is to donate money so that we can buy more food and we can feed more kids. $150 feeds a kid for the entire school year.
And there's easy ways, too, to donate as well, like Amazon Smile.
Absolutely.
So for those of you who are Amazon shoppers like I am, make sure that you go through the Amazon Smile project, and certainly that's an easy way to start getting money funneled through the Children's Hunger.
Right. And you're always looking for volunteers. So the website has an area where people could sign up to be a volunteer as well.
Yep. There's a volunteer tab at thechildrenshungerproject.org. It's got information on how you can get involved in packing food or delivering food. You know, we always have a need for office volunteers. We have people that process thank you letters for our donations. Do a food drive at your office. We have a food drive flyer.
Yes. I was just going to say, I read online this morning that one of the nice ways of teaching children about helping other children, if you go to Publix or your supermarket of your choice, and they've got a buy one, get one free, say to your child, I'm going to buy this one for us, but this is for a child who is starving someplace else. Right. And then go home and set it aside to take to the Children's Hunger Project or to give to someone who is in that situation. Now, there is a stigma attached as well to these children who are hungry. Let's talk a little bit about that, because nearly half of the food stamp recipients are children. But their families are, 20% of these families, they're food insecure, and they're facing such stigmas, and they're afraid to come forward. What can we do to show people that it's okay, we're here for you?
Well, that's one of the reasons our program is so simple. The families don't have to sign up for it. There's no paperwork to fill out by the parents.
You just slip it in the backpack.
We literally take the food to the schools, drop it off there. The teachers take those packets and decide who gets them. Put them in the backpack, the kid takes it home. We actually talk to our teachers about putting these in the kids' backpacks when the kids are out at recess or during lunch so that no one knows who's getting the packet. So it's very dignified, it's very respectful. The families and the parents don't have to identify that we're needy, that we're poor, that we need food help. it just happens, and it's so easy. And I think that's one of the things that people really appreciate about our program. The other one is that we are strictly in Brevard County. So our goal is to wipe out childhood hunger here in Brevard County. And we have no aspirations of moving outside of Brevard County until we've taken care of that.
Yeah, you're very passionate about it. You've lived in Brevard since 2002. Thank you for dedicating your life to such a noble cause, too, because I could hear it in his voice. It makes me want to cry when I think about it, because, you know, you see so many people that don't get involved, and they have time, and they do have a little change that they could give. And you're right. You know, sometimes you'll see someone spending $8 on a cup of coffee when with another $4, it's $12. You can put it to a good cause like this. Who wants to go home? I mean, I know about hunger because, I mean, I'm from a family of 18 brothers and sisters. And I know when my mother had to ration what we were going to eat. Like, each child will get 2 shrimp. That's it. You know, with your rice or whatever. And but you make it work. You make it work. You know, we our culture is different. We planted, we helped each other and all that. But I do know of people who didn't have those 2 shrimp. And so, you know, we all have to become vocal advocates for those who don't have. So what else can we do besides volunteering and donating some money? I understand you're also helping with the Vieira High School marching band. You're helping in that way. And I guess you spread the message through those kids as well.
I do. And honestly, because I've been in the nonprofit world for so long, I volunteer. I sit on board of directors of other organizations. One of my lifelong passions is music. And so I volunteer and teach the Vieira Marching Hawks every football season. And I get involved in other organizations because I want...
You could spread the message that way as well.
Well, and it's really not about the Children's Hunger Project,
yes.
But it's helping make the community better.
Right. Well, you know, a friend of mine was talking to me about this. So she says, you know, who are you having to show today? And I said, we're having the Children's Hunger Project and the Brevard Cultural Alliance. And we started talking about our role as elder people with experience in our community and what it takes to mentor people so that they don't fall into this situation where they've got wealth inequality, because a general a lack of access to financial opportunity has a major impact on how people live and how they treat their children. And so we were saying, like, you know, even in high school, you have to teach people about financial literacy. Are you all seeing organizations that are stepping up to the plate to help with that? Because one of the ways to fight hunger and poverty is by teaching equality.
And some of it's generational, too.
Right.
If I don't graduate from high school, chances are my kids aren't going to graduate from high school. They're going to end up working a minimum wage job. They're going to struggle to provide for their family. Their kids are not going
to
graduate.
Yeah, so you have to address
school.
It's a root cause. You have to address the problem, because they say 1 in 4 black households lack food security compared to 1 in 10 white households. For Latino families, the food insecurity is 1 in 5. You're absolutely correct, because, you know, if you have a family gathering and you talk about land and real estate and going to college and opening a business or taking your talent, gift, and abilities and doing something, you could spread the word on how to get ahead in life. But a lot of people just don't have that opportunity. So which groups in town are you all partnering up with to do stuff like that?
So we work very closely with the Brevard Sharing Center of Central Brevard. They are a wonderful partner agency. We work with Family Promise of Brevard. If there's like a drug addiction issue in a family or something, they are great with that. They have great resources. The problem with some of this is, like, if you have a drug addiction problem in your family, it can take weeks, months, or even years to address that problem, and yet the kid doesn't eat. So I'm not going to sit idly by and let that kid suffer because the parents are going through something. So we step in and we get the kid on our program and get them food.
And by helping the child, you're actually helping the entire family, too.
Absolutely.
Because it is a family. I mean, if one in the family is hurting, everybody else is as well. And, you know, teachers all say that children who come to school hungry, they can't learn. So how do we address that in our community? Like, we want to bring more awareness to this cause. We hear oftentimes people would say, well, get a job. Well, you really can't get a job if your parents don't own a car. They can't put gas in the car. They can't pay for car insurance.
Yeah, these kids are in elementary school. Yes. Getting a job is not an option. Oftentimes, going to a friend's house to get a meal is not an option. They're just not as mobile. But that's why Brevard County, the school district, several years ago decided to do the paperwork and become one of three counties in the state of Florida that provide breakfast and lunch to kids on the free lunch program. So hallelujah, thank you to the Brevard School District for taking the leadership role in that to make sure that the kids are at least getting those two meals when they go to school. Unfortunately, those two meals at school account for 40% of their daily nutritional requirements. So if they're not getting dinner when they get home, they're already falling behind.
Yes. Now, when I say get a job, I mean they're telling the parents. But you're just saying that you have people who are homeless. Yep. We've got people in Brevard County, Florida, who are living in cars. Or maybe five people living in one motel room. They don't even have a valid address for school. And we're expecting them to perform and do well in school. They can't. So thank God for the Children's Hunger Project and people like you who really step up and do stuff like this, and all the volunteers.
Thank you. Yeah, we could not do it without our volunteers. They are the lifeline of our organization. We just literally would not survive without them.
Yeah. And this, you know, Ellen, we talked about this with a couple of people that came on our show before, that when someone is hungry, they struggle socially, and they have behaviors that are, you can't enjoy things.
Sure.
You know?
There is a truth to the hangry thing. You know, when people are hungry, they get angry.
You've seen those Snickers commercials
where people turn
into other people.
Exactly. Well, and just imagine, I mean, the bullying and the things that go on in schools. I mean, you can't discount that some of it could be because those kids are hungry and because, or they feel embarrassed because they don't have, you know, much like what you said, Keith, it's all private. You know, you take these packets and you put them in their backpacks so that it's not a public thing that the kids, that the other kids know that they might not be
socially ashamed. You don't want to be ashamed of it. Well, you know, and the thing is, too, we have to get away from, I don't know how we can help people to get away from that feeling of feeling helpless and feeling ashamed of their circumstances, because I believe poverty made me a stronger person. It sure did. Because I remember when the Trinidad and Tobago government, of course, you know, we had British schools. And I remember when they would come into our schools with this big bag of powder and mix milk for us and give us four cookies. And up to today, I am so grateful for those four cookies and that glass of milk. I felt important. I felt like somebody cared about me to give me four cookies and a glass of milk. And so I think if you're grateful and you show appreciation for what others give to you in that way, you won't look at it as a shameful thing, but as a collectively, as a society taking care of its own. Because human beings, that's what we're supposed to do. If we see someone struggling, they say, well, pull somebody up by the bootstrap. Well, what if you don't have a boot? Right. You buy him a boot.
Right?
And oftentimes you hear people say that, but I think it's important for us to understand that all these great organizations in Brevard County, Florida, that are helping people, they're doing it because they really care. It's from the heart. It's not that anybody wants to feel anybody, make anybody feel ashamed of their circumstances or themselves. And I see you're nodding your head.
Kids are mean. You know, kids, unfortunately, in schools are mean. So sometimes it does, you know, and you had an army of people. Oh. You had 17 others that were protecting you.
Yeah,
we sure did. You protected your own.
So I'm sure you see things where, do you ever have a chance to talk with families and speak with them about things like Ellen is saying, like bullying and homelessness, in addition to being hungry?
Sure, and it all plays into that. Kids are pretty ruthless sometimes, and if they find out that a kid is going through a rough time or their family's going through a rough time, they can be relentless and that's, again, why we train our teachers to give these packets out in a very dignified, respectful manner so that the kids are not identified. The parents don't need to identify or self-identify themselves. It just happens naturally, and it's really cool. But, you know, I think there's a lot of conversations about bullying now in schools, and I think it's great that we're, you know, I think the first solution to the problem is just to identify it and to be talking about it, and hopefully some solutions from that.
Yeah, even on
social once again,
media.
It was really easy. It's $12.50 a month. I just signed up.
Yes.
Really easy on the site.
Thank you.
So, but you know, for all those, as a call to action today, I think
give them the website. Our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, Ellen will give you the website to sign up.
It's actually on our website. It's on our Facebook page. It's thechildrenshungerproject.org.
Right. And, you know, statistics have shown that an estimated 48.8 million Americans, and that includes 16.2 million of those are children, live in households that lack the means to get enough nutritious foods on a regular basis. Now, you have a lot of events coming up as well. And I notice you all do a lot of outdoor activities as well as indoor activities. You also promote exercise and well-being through a lot of these programs that you do, which I love. So tell us about some of the events.
So one of our biggest events is our Fight Child Hunger 5K. It happens in January. It's actually a joint fundraiser between the Children's Hunger Project and the Sharing Center of Central Brevard. And it's sponsored by Health First, who has a huge countywide initiative to get kids healthy. So getting them moving, getting them proper nutrition kind of goes hand in hand. So they have been a great partner for us, and we're very excited about this will be our fourth year of doing that event, and it's awesome to see people come out and support it.
Right. And do you all have anything in the summer, like summer camps and stuff for children?
So we participate in the Summer Feed and Read program. It's sponsored by the United Way. And what happens is when kids get out of school, they stop being active, they stop eating properly, they start playing video games, so they stop reading. And their reading levels can literally drop grade levels over the course of the summer. So the Feed and Read program is really designed to combat that. So they get lunch every day at camp. They get a weekend food packet from us every
week. I
want
to be a kid again just to get that.
And then they get a brand new reading book at their reading level every week that they can take home and read. The good news for us, all of the food that we provide during that summer program is paid for by another organization called Project Hunger. They've been a great partner for us. United Way kind of manages the distribution of our food through these camps, but it's all over the county. And the last 2 years, we actually fed more kids each week during the summer than we did during the school year.
Do you ever have the children come back and say, well, I prefer this over this? Because you know how kids are. Tell us about some of the things that they like better.
Sure. Anytime we change up our menus, we do food testing with kids. We have a panel of kids that will taste the food. A lot of the most popular things, I mean, the milk is really popular. They love applesauce. They love the juice. A lot of kids really like the cheese and beef sticks. I love the fact that we have like sunflower seeds in our
packet. You have a variety. I see it's a variety
healthy.
Pack.
Mm-hmm. And actually, for next school year, we're going to be redesigning our packet to just move in a way to be a little more healthy with some of the food items in there. We have about 8 different menus, so the kids do get some variety from week to week. So hopefully, if they don't like something in the packet, it's only there this week and then next week.
And what I like about your package, Keith, with the Children's Hunger Project, oh my God, this is such a wonderful topic to speak about. I feel so calm when I talk about helping people. But I noticed that a lot of those things don't have to be refrigerated.
None of them do. So because we don't know any of the kids we serve, it's all chosen by the teachers. So we don't know if these kids are living in the backseat of a car, in a tent, in a park. So it's all shelf-stable food. It's all easy to open, easy to consume. You don't need a knife, a fork, a microwave, a can opener. And then it's all kid-friendly. So it's stuff that's designed that...
you could eat it right away.
You know, we just had a hero for kids on last week, John Kalish. Kalish, right?
Yeah, he was collecting books.
And he's one of those that collects books and is part of that all of those reading programs. So it's neat how the synergy is still around kids the last 2 weeks, specifically around kids of helping out.
It has. Well, you know, the thing is, you know, when you know every decade brings something in life. And, you know, when you're from 0 to 10, you're trying to get a footing in the world. Then you go to school, you go to college, you have your children. You give back to society. And then in our 40s and 50s, we kind of come down. We were flying so high before, raising our own kids and God knows working the extra shifts to pay for college and car insurance for 4 children or whatever. But in your 50s, you're coming down and you're noticing that not everyone have the same opportunity. And what can you do to make life a better place for these children And adults, too. People are getting hooked on opioids. People are living paycheck to paycheck. You lose a couple of mortgage payments and you're outside. I mean, we live in a society that unfortunately not everyone takes care of each other. So right. When you find people like Keith and Lisa that are doing that, it's just amazing. So I know we have a few more minutes left. So you tell us what other events can we tell our listeners to go and Google on your website? That's pretty popular for the summer.
So actually in the summer, right now until the end of the year, we don't do any in-house fundraising events, but we participate in other fundraising events that are benefiting the Children's Hunger Project. So there's a number of ones coming up. The Small Business Expo, which is being held at the Merritt Island Mall June 8th and 9th, is a huge event, and we'll have a booth there. And it's just, again, for me, it's about building awareness. Getting our name and logo out in front of people so that they know that we're existing, that we're working hard to get these kids fed. And a lot of people help support that.
Right. And when it says Children's Hunger Project, it doesn't mean you don't support adults who are hungry as well. If an adult walks up to you and say, hey, I'd like one of those, you would give that to them as well. Would you?
I would give them money out of my pocket, but our resources go to help feed these elementary school kids. So it's tough because when a kid graduates and goes on to middle school, they don't get a packet from us anymore because our resources are so limited. We only have enough money. We don't have enough money right now to feed all of the kids in elementary school that need it. So that's why we appreciate your support of helping us get the word out.
Yeah,
so
we have to.
And Amazon Smile. Make sure if you're an Amazon supporter, get on Amazon Smile and make the Children's Hunger Project your charity of choice.
Well, you know, I recently ran into a woman. She called me and she asked me about, she had heard something on the show about the Brevard Homeless Coalition. And she says she was living in a motel room with her daughter-in-law and three children. And she was looking for someone to help her with paying the rent because they were going to throw her out. She didn't have enough money. And I guess they were not earning enough. And I said, you know, well, where's the father of these children? And unfortunately, he was in prison. And, you know, these are stories of real people that things happen to. And, you know, it goes from a DUI to maybe doing drugs or whatever it is. But people fall on hard times. And I like the idea that we do take care of the children. We can't hold, you know, the faults of the parents to hold these poor children. We can't make them responsible for what their parents did. And, right. You know, we often hear people talk about taking personal responsibility. Well, sometimes they were not taught how to take that personal responsibility. And I like what you're doing. So do we have anywhere that you all would be an advocate for people to probably go and learn how to, you know, go back to school, get a job, be more responsible with their children? Are you partnering with anybody else in the community that can help struggling parents who are really facing challenging times?
Sure. I mean, we partner very well with the school district. Eastern Florida State College has some awesome programs, certification programs for parents that are struggling that want a better life. Kaiser University, other educational institutions like that in Brevard County really offer great programs.
Right. So we help, but we also give them information and make people aware of what their choices are if they would like to get that help.
So check out the Brevard Cultural Alliance. And Lisa, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And Keith G., thank you so much for sharing all of the information about the Children's Hunger Project. Call to action today is really just get involved, as always, right?
Awareness.
Awareness. And thank you so much, Sita, for another fantastic show here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And folks, we'll see you here live next week here at 1 p.m.